Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
And we are back. Thank you, listeners, so much for joining us for yet another episode of the Startup Hustle podcast. I am your host, Lauren Conaway, founder and CEO of Innovate Her KC, and I would be remiss if I did not point out that this episode has been sponsored by Fullscale, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Today we have with us one of the more interesting entrepreneurial minds that I know. And our guest is, she's a fantastic woman, fantastic person, makes me laugh. I just love hanging out with her, but she has a really, really interesting product that we're going to talk about. And we're going to learn about, we're going to learn a lot. If you are a fan of Shark Week, this is the episode for you. We have with us today, Shay Geist, and Shay is boss mama at Shark Off. Welcome to Startup Hustle, Shay.
Thank you. I am tickled pink to be here.
Yay. Okay, good. Me too. So let's go ahead and just jump right in. And the first question that I'm going to ask you is the getting to know you question. I'm going to ask you, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about Shark Off. Tell us how you came to be doing what you're doing. Tell us about your journey. Just give us some background.
Okay. So as you said, I'm boss mama at Shark Off, which is, when you're speaking like normal business language, that's CEO. But after years of working for other people, when my husband and I finally started our own company, we decided we were going to have some fucking fun. So no normal titles. Yay. Here. No standard titles.
Great start.
Thank you. So that's what boss mama means. And I consider myself a ridiculously lucky person. Of course, we work hard too, but so a long time ago in a galaxy, not going back that far.
Oh God, I was about to be like, oh, this is going to be a long run,
yeah. I think the biggest part of the story of my life is that at the ribald age of 52, because I'm no longer ashamed of any of the numbers, that being a butterfly, like chasing all kinds of different things, is actually kind of a cool thing in life. I always felt like I wasn't doing the right thing because I didn't, almost graduated from Rockhurst when I should have in 1990. And I should have launched myself into like the banking industry and been a vice president of whatever at this age, getting ready to start talking about retirement and, you know, having 2.5 kids and a big house somewhere in a suburb kind of thing. And that's not the path. I didn't finish school the first time around. And followed my nuclear family to Reno, where I worked as a makeup artist. And then I worked for a suicide hotline and rape crisis center. And of course, can't just be like toes in that. So I also volunteered with sexual assault survivors, meeting them at the hospital so they could have their rape kit performed, and answering the crisis line as well. And then I moved into doing continuing education for judges, and then just kind of some jobs, working in the mortgage industry, and then came here and worked for another nonprofit that worked with adults with disabilities. And so in the interim, in all those spaces, I became a certified feng shui consultant and also a doula, a professional childbirth assistant. So that is some all over the place.
Yeah, you've kind of been all over the place.
Yes. I've had many years.
Some of those things I definitely did not.
Yeah. So it's, I really like touched on everything that seemed interesting to me, or many of the things that seemed interesting to me. And I really, again, found that to be a fault in myself until I got to this space. And I just feel like all of that stuff prepared me for starting this company. I was in tons of admin positions. And if you think that you're having a bad day at work, talk to somebody who's thinking about committing suicide, or meet a sexual assault survivor at a hospital. Like, there is, as difficult as entrepreneurship is, it is truly difficult. Those things and all of the other people who do those types of things. That's some real shit.
Yeah, that's real tough.
Mm-hmm. When about the time I hit 40, I left my starter marriage and met my husband, and my son came along in an inappropriate amount of time later, and he spent 90 days in the neonatal intensive care unit. And surviving that is a way that you show yourself that you are made of steel. The fact that I walked out of there with my child, and I was lucky enough to walk out of there with my child. So send it this way. It might make me cry, but I'm going to get up and do it.
Yeah. Well, so clearly you have a lot of very, very divergent, very different experience, a lot of life experience there, a lot of career experience there. Can I ask you, you said that all of this kind of prepared you for your today role. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about Sharkoff. I'm really, really excited to like drill down into Sharkoff and talk about that. But the first thing I want to ask you is, what was the common thread? Like, what were the things that the commonalities that prepared you and taught you and got you to this point today where you're an entrepreneur and you have nerves made of steel, and you're doing it. You're putting yourself out there. Cause that is one thing that you do.
Well, thank you. Yeah. So a whole bunch of that stuff, even when I was volunteering at the crisis center, I was actually the office manager. And so a ton of those pieces along the way were admin. So when the boss needed something, I was the person that did that. And as the person that did that, becoming the boss, and an entrepreneur in this space where there's only two of us running this company, I can actually do all that shit. I can, you know, make labels for our product that advise people to trim if the, you know, when we make it too long. But our new product has Velcro on it and it's made too long, so you can size it to yourself and then trim it. We discovered that people weren't figuring that out, so we put a little label on it. So somebody had to design that label, print it on the label paper, and start going back and putting in them on all of them. And so I already had all that skill set put together for that. I don't need anybody else to do that. Now, at some point, there's going to be different levels of things, and we will hopefully find somebody that will do that stuff. But right now, while we are in the startup phase, it is incredibly convenient to have that whole skill set. And then the other half of it is just, you know, when the punches come, and they come when you're an entrepreneur.
Oh, yeah.
The, yeah, I know, you know, okay, take a breath and get back up, keep going.
Yeah. Well, so let us dive for our listeners who aren't as intimately familiar with SharkOff, your product. What is SharkOff? I am gleefully awaiting the answer to this question, but what is SharkOff?
SharkOff is shark repellent jewelry. I always like to give people a minute because people make the best faces when you say that. It's so awesome to say that. And they kind of like what the fin? And so, yeah, shark repellent jewelry. And usually if you're here and you've met us, you're like in Kansas. And I like to think that I'm from Kansas City, not from Kansas, but sure. The metro. Oh, yeah. And the answer is hell yeah. You know, one of the best entrepreneurial communities on the planet.
Yeah.
I
have asked you that question before because I think this is actually how I phrased it. It takes a very special mind to say to themselves, here we live in the middle of the country with no oceans, no sharks around, and we're going to create a product that is geared toward communities that deal with sharks. I'm really, talk to us about that. Like what were you thinking?
So we like to say that SharkOff was born in bed, which is a little doula joke. And yeah, and always, again, you know, people, the faces, it's awesome. So we were watching TV. We were watching a PBS program with Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs. Okay. And one of the two scientists that developed and patented the technology. And they took this huge, this big chunk of metal, and they were standing in a pool, a shallow pool, with some juvenile sharks swimming around in there. And they did a couple of experiments to show how the sharks responded to them. But the takeaway is when they put that piece of metal near that, or that hunk near the shark, the sharks did everything they could to get away from that. And there's this condition, it's called, and that word just flew, tonic immobility. So if you turn a shark over on its back, it actually kind of goes into a mild trance state.
Okay.
And so one of the ways that you know that this metal is impacting the shark is that you put it into the trance state and then slowly bring the metal toward it. So you're not creating a bunch of waves or giving any kind of visual cues, really. You actually do it behind something to block it. And the shark will literally lose its mind trying to get away from it.
Wow.
So
I do have to ask, does it hurt the shark?
It does not. It does not. It is, it overwhelms. So I'll back up a little bit. What it does is when you introduce this metal into the water, it's a rare earth element, which is neither rare, but it is earth. It starts to dissolve super slow. And as it's dissolving, it gives off about a volt and a half of electricity. Okay. And that process is well known. It's called hydrolysis. So sharks have these sensors primarily in their snout called the ampullae of Lorenzini, and they are made to sense electrical fields. Yeah.
Okay. So what is a volt and a half equivalent to?
A little bit of a double A battery.
Okay. Okay. So I mean, if you've ever licked your finger and touched a double A,
you get nothing.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say you definitely feel it, but not too bad. Okay.
Yeah. So, So the sharks, from their perspective, it overwhelms the ampullae. So they're not actually getting a shock. It's just like the radio is way too loud, or, there's just some super loud sound. One of the scientists that we work with described it as living in a cave your whole life and then walking out into the sun.
Okay.
You're not hurt, but you are going to do everything you can to not have that input. Okay. So sharks use it for a couple things. They use it to tune into the magnetic, in the earth, there's waves of magnetism in the earth. So they use it for navigation. And then they also use it for hunting. So they can actually feel the heartbeat of a fish in the water or a ray under the sand or something like that. So they can sense 5/1 billionths of a volt.
Okay.
So 5/1 billion. So they can feel your heartbeat in the water. They can feel that fish's heartbeat when they get close enough. It's not it doesn't have a huge range, this sensor. So if you can imagine that 1.5 volts against 5/1 billionths of a volt sensitivity, it is literally billions of times stronger.
Okay.
Or millions of times stronger
they get closer, right? Like a shark is going to detect this bracelet dissolving in the water before it reaches a pain point, and it's going to turn around.
Yes. Right?
Okay.
They can actually do a 180. Their spine will do a 180, and they do. So
I got to tell you, you and I have never actually talked the particulars of this technology, and the fact that you carry around this knowledge of sharks in your head, just it makes me love you just that much more.
Aw, thank you.
This is my friend Shay. She is an expert in sharks, and that is amazing.
There's a lot more to know about sharks that that we don't get into because it's not kind of in the purview of this technology. Sure. But I didn't actually answer your question, which was who looks at something like this and goes, let's make a product.
I got so sucked into show knowledge that I actually forgot my precipitating question. Thank you for bringing us back.
No problem. And the answer is Jeff Geist, my husband, So what happened is we watched this happen in this program and we looked at each other because I was terrified of sharks. Okay. Won't get in the water terrified of sharks. And we looked at each other and we're like, what the shnikey? Where's the commercial product? Where's the consumer product that came from this technology? You can't tell me there's not a consumer product, and why haven't we seen it? And so life was already kind of it. And he's like, ooh, let's do that. And I was like, no. We live in Kansas City. You are fucking crazy. We live in Kansas City. And so we kind of just filed it and then happened to, I went to the fast track program after leaving my last position for my feng shui business. I was finally going to do that full time. And came home from the first day and I was like, Jeff, we'll do that shark thing. But if you want to quit your job, we'll do that shark thing, but you need to take this class too.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Okay.
Took the class. Yeah.
So I want to ask one more technical question before we, I do want to talk about your experience as an entrepreneur and like how cool you are, but I mean, this bracelet, man, it's kind of blowing my mind a little bit right now. So just how long does it last? You said that it dissolves very slowly.
Yeah. So this, the value added that we brought to the patent process was that big chunk of metal that they were sticking in the water. That was probably like, so it's probably about maybe like 150 grams. So it was probably close to $3,000 or $4,000 worth of the pure metals that do this.
Okay.
That create this, of the pure rare earth metals. So at some point, and that would probably dissolve within like 3 days.
Yeah.
So our value added was finding an alloy or developing an alloy that would slow that down, that would bring it to the cost that we, that would make a bracelet. We can charge $2,000 or $4,000 by that time for a bracelet that's going to dissolve in like 36 hours or 72 hours, right?
Yeah.
So that's another thing that my fabulous husband did. I think he's probably got a bachelor's degree in electrochemistry at this point. And found an alloy that makes it last up to about 250 hours.
Okay.
If you take good care of it.
So in this kind of begs my next question, but what in Dante's seventh circle of hell did your product testing process look like?
It was
not near an ocean.
Yeah, no. So we were forced to go to the Bahamas.
Forced, yes. Sure.
There's an organization down there called the Bimini Biological Field Station Foundation, lovingly called Shark Lab. And one of the biggest shark, they call him Doc, or they called him Doc. He passed last year. Just been in the water with sharks since the mid 60s. So really preeminent researcher. And so went down there and did some tonic immobility studies with some juveniles down there. It was interesting. Because we had done some preliminary stuff down off of Fort Lauderdale, and my husband and Max, because I'm still terrified of sharks, my 9-year-old son went into the Atlantic Ocean with about 20 lemon sharks. And then one tiger showed up. So, and they were testing the bracelet out in that ocean. And my son had no problem at all. He thought it was the coolest thing ever. So then we get down.
A lot of faith in a product to say, well, I'm not going to get in. Take my kid. Like, you had to have a lot of faith. Right?
Well, so here's the fun part of that. It was a monster failure in that test.
Oh God.
Yeah, it was a monster failure. There were enough people in there. We went with a gentleman named Ryan Walton and his crew, and they dive every day with sharks. And so it was a failure. And so the sharks were actually trained that they were going to be fed when they could hear the motor from Ryan's boat. So that's how he gets 20 of them to show up at his boat when he comes out, because they know they're going to get fed. So that's called habituation. And they actually turn off their ampullae. They can turn it back and not use it because they know they're going to get fed. So they don't have to hunt. They're getting their food handed to them. So that was a really important lesson to learn, that habituation has an impact in a situation like that. Now, most of the time, overwhelmingly, when a little, like a bull shark in some warm, shallow water in the Gulf Coast follows a bait fish in to a beach area where people are playing, they've got that ampullae turned on because they're trying to track it. They can't see anything. They don't know what's happening. There could be other predators around. So that's what makes it work even better. Like that's what makes the situation, makes it stronger in that situation is the ampullae. So the successful testing, the way that we got our proof of concept was going out on a boat to a shark reef there. Mm-hmm. And we started a feeding frenzy. There were about 7 black tip reef sharks there. And so we were just throwing in these huge chunks of fish. And then we made a tube that was filled with chum and strapped a fish to it. And we threw that in a couple of times as a control, and they came up and attacked it every time and took the fish. And at that point, we had 5 alloys, different alloys that we were testing. Uh-huh. And so we just kind of started throwing them in one at a time, attached to this rig to see what would happen. And 1, 2, 3, 5, and 5 failed again. So we were, the whole bunch of us, the whole research crew and the guy who capped it, we're all devastated. Sure. And Jeff had saved this one alloy. It was a little bit more expensive and it's heavier than the ones that we liked. And he's, when we're like, well, we're here. You know, this is not happening again. So we threw that one in and it was mind blowing to watch these 300-pound sharks, maybe 4, come up and approach that. And they knew it was food. It was proven food to them.
Right.
And just bounce off that thing, bounce off of it. So we repeated that 2 more times. And then we actually just threw some fish in again, attached to it to see, you know, to confirm that they weren't just not hungry anymore, even though they were coming at attack speed.
Right.
At it. And they went after the fish again. So we knew that it wasn't, you know, just too full for the day.
Sure.
Yeah. So it was the quietest ride home because we were all just... And so that was we had our proof of concept. And so that's the product or that's the technology that is used in the bracelets.
Okay. That is fascinating. And now my primary goal in our friendship today is to get you on Shark Week. Like I think anybody who likes sharks, wants to learn about sharks, they need to hear your stories because clearly you have a bunch.
Yeah.
Okay. So well, first of all, actually, I want to talk a little bit about, so you have a bracelet, like, mm-hmm. As far as I know, is that your only product?
So as a clarification, mm-hmm. it's a bracelet anklet and we recommend that you wear it on your ankle first. Okay. 70% of shark bites happen on the lower extremities. So it's just not very convenient in a networking situation to have it on your ankle.
Yeah.
Okay. I have the flexibility, but it's going to be weird.
It on your wrist.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, so we have our flagship, product is called Bimini, named after Shark Lab. And it's kind of an all leather product with just kind of a fun, like surfer vibe, even though surfers aren't really our target market.
Looking piece of jewelry. Cause it's almost, so there's like this chunk of silver that you can see, like the silver metal. And then for at least the ones that I've seen, like there's this black braided leather. And I mean, honestly, like I would want to wear one just as a fashion item, and then if somebody
thank you,
like let me tell you the story of this badass piece of jewelry.
I know, right? Talk about network.
Cool, it's a really cool looking piece. And then so in your primary demo, from what I've seen and what I've heard, it seems to be surfers.
Our product is actually called Shark Repellent Surfwear Jewelry, and the concept is to give that vibe, that kind of hang loose, kind of that vibe. But our target market, our market profile is not surfers or divers.
Okay.
Her name is Katie, and she's between 30 and 50, and she has 1.5 kids under the age of school age kids, and she has enough disposable income in her home market to travel to the beach on vacation.
Yeah.
So really,
okay.
I am our target market.
And that's so Katie, like, she goes to the beach with her kids every year, and she wants to be safe, and she wants to keep herself safe while wearing a cool piece of jewelry.
Yes.
That's kind of how it goes.
And it's easy. It's convenience is really the biggest differentiator between us and price and our closest competition. Their product is like $85, and it's a high powered magnet, also acts on the same sensors.
Yeah.
But you have to keep it in a special box. And if you have a couple of kids and a partner that you would also prefer was not eaten by a shark, then you have four of those boxes to stuff into your luggage.
Okay.
And that doesn't really work very well for most people.
Yeah.
So.
And I do want to be really clear here, Shay, like, I don't actually want very many people to be bitten by sharks.
Yeah.
a partner, no. Kids, or no. It's not really a thing that I wish on people.
It
would be pretty unpleasant.
Yeah, and we don't either. And actually, we're very forward about the likelihood that you will be bitten by a shark. You are more likely to be struck by lightning twice than to be bitten by a shark.
Oh, okay.
There are roughly 100 validated instances of shark bites globally out of 7 billion people every year. And a couple of those, like 10 to 12 or so, are fatal. So this is not the issue. Like, that's not the need we are addressing. We're not addressing shark bites. Our technology works because it has to, because we're really shitty humans if it doesn't.
Well, sure.
But the thing that we're addressing is fear.
Yeah. So we have a really cool looking safety blanket.
Yeah, or your seatbelt.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, it's like, that concept.
Okay. So I love that. Like, you are selling efficacy. Your product works, and, you know, for people who spend a lot of time in ocean waters and might encounter a shark, I'm sure that there's a very practical desire to have something like that. But really, I love the fact that you are so aware of your purpose. That's really cool, Jay.
Yeah, and we didn't want to demonize sharks. That's not the point here. That's already done. That's a done deal. You know, Spielberg.
Thank you, Joe. Nature.
Yeah. So we don't have to do that. We can actually advocate on behalf of sharks.
Yeah.
So that's our goal.
Okay. Well, so I have like five different questions, but the first one that I'm going to ask is, so you mentioned the punches way, way back before I got so excited about shark talk. and so talk to us, you know, you talked about one of your big failures where you were, you know, testing these products and you didn't realize that having, you know, conditioned response that would affect your study results. And I mean, that's a thing. Like, that is a failure, but it's also a win.
Yeah. Well, and a huge learning experience that we could really understand, you know, where this technology was most applicable. And you're just in general, not going to run into habituated sharks in the ocean for the most part. I mean, that's such a small portion.
Right.
So that trip to Fort Lauderdale was, we scraped together the money to do that. I mean, like borrowed from friends and family kind of thing. And then to go down there and have that fail was just like seriously a punch in the gut.
That's gonna be, be a heartbreaker.
Yeah. Yeah. And we just had a lot of faith in the technology. And most importantly, Doc Gruber, the gentleman that I was talking about, he had faith in our technology. And that was huge, huge for us. So from that point, we kept going. Then we got a loan from the WeLend at the Women's Business Center here.
Yeah.
So that also helped us keep moving and set us up for the trip to the Bahamas to continue testing with Doc Gruber. In the Bahamas, we had failures there too. The tonic immobility tests were there was something wrong with the subjects, or because they had to go out and capture those juvenile sharks, and then they built a pen in kind of in a shallow area of the ocean. Mm-hmm. And so we would walk out to the pen and test them. And so so there was something wrong with the testing conditions, because they failed to respond to anything. So we had actually taken our competitor's product out there with us, because we felt they have tested the bejesus out of that thing. So if we compared it to our product and their product was working and our product wasn't, then it was clearly our product. But if our technology, if we tested both technologies, one that has been proven over and over again, and those juveniles did not respond to it, then there was something wrong with the test setup. So we weren't sure if the juveniles were so stressed out, because sharks are very easily stressed out. Sharks should not live in captivity. So that's pretty bad for them, even though they were going to let them go as soon as we were done. And then the first day that we went out to the reef, we went out after a tourism boat. And so they had dumped all of the rest of their chum in the water after they were finished, before we got there. So when we got there, all the fish that we were throwing in were eaten by the other small fish. The sharks were full. They literally didn't care. So we spent like 2 hours feeding other fish. And so we had to adjust that. And then the second day when we came back, we made sure we got out there before they did. And so we had kind of a clean testing ground for them. So
all of that to ask you this, how do you overcome failures? Because I think that one of the things that we don't talk about enough in being an entrepreneur is that grit thing. That's just the question. How did you overcome these punch in the gut failures? Like, how did you find the strength to keep moving on?
Yeah. So first you like cry, and then you drink a bunch. And then once that kind of mourning period is over, like remind yourself why you're here. I think that's the big thing. And the why we're here is, so there's a little girl named Violet who lives in Florida, and they live not far from the beach at all. And she and her family were playing at their beach that they go to every day. It's like their playground would be here, and a brother and a sister and mom. And Violet was standing in about 24 inches of water, and a bull shark chased in some spear fishermen. And like followed them in into the beach, and because they're trailing fish blood behind them. Mm-hmm. and mistook Violet for something that was supposed to be eaten.
Yeah.
Or bitten. So at the age of three, her mom actually, this is a little, I'll try to go faster. At the age of 3, she had massive surgery. She's got this incredible scar, came out of it just fine. And as a little kid, you know, they're all crazy. They go back in and do it in a hot minute, but that was not mom's okay for mom. So they kind of stopped going to their beach because it was now terrifying. So about a year and 2 months ago, Violet got to go back in the water again with her shark off. So,
that's your reason.
Yeah. It's all the Violets. It's all the survivors.
Yeah.
You know, who, and it's all the moms that are just freaking terrified like me.
Yeah.
You know, and the time you waste in fear instead of enjoying your vacation, because vacation doesn't come that frequently for most people.
Sure.
So.
Well, so that's incredible. And I think that, you know, Simon Sinek, he does a talk about finding your why. Mm-hmm. And so what you're talking about is just that, you know, what is the purpose? And then we talk about the, you know, the tactics. So I love that. And I have to tell you, Shay, this time has flown by.
I know.
Like 20 questions, but we're going to have to do those at another time. I do have a fun question for you.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you, where's your favorite place to vacation? And please, for the love of God, tell me it's something beachy.
So I'm not going to say the Bahamas.
Okay.
Their mosquitoes are the size of like small aircraft carriers. Yeah, actually that's a boat, but I think we haven't found it yet. We're looking at the Mediterranean.
Okay. So there's a whole world of possibilities open.
Yes, and that's the point.
It's so beachy, so it applies.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's definitely gonna be beachy. It might be Curacao. It might be Portugal or Spain.
I love that you're leaving room for possibilities there. That is awesome. Well, Shay, thank you so much for being here with us today and for educating us about sharks, which just makes me happy.
Thank you, Lauren. I knew this was going to be a blast. Yeah. So.
So thank you. Keep doing what you're doing. I love watching you pitch. I love watching your company evolve and grow. And, you know, it's been an honor to get to know you over the, couple, 3-4 years that we've known each other. So thank you so much. Also want to say a thank you to our episode sponsors. Today's episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Keep in mind that you can find the Startup Hustle on Instagram at Startup Hustle Podcast or check out our YouTube channel. And listeners, we are so very grateful that you stopped in to listen to us today. We wish for you all of the happy, happy, safe beach vacations that we have within us. So good luck with that and go forth and be shark free. Thanks so much and have a good one.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.